the roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Buds?
Here.
Mr. Dobbs? Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Here.
Mr. Detweiler and I are also here.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public communication, we don't have anyone signed up, anyone need to sign up? We'll move on to board work session. And I'll make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board grant a high school diploma to China Stinsman. Discussion?
Second.
Mark, second.
Yeah, Mark, second.
Tim, did we get any background?
Yeah, she was a student at one time, and then went out, and then came back and got everything she needed to graduate, so.
Great. All right, call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. McCarries, 4-0.
Anything else for board work session? Have anything, anything else? Okay. You can't hear.
Yeah, I forgot to turn mine on.
I did not turn mine on. I thought I was loud enough. I typically am, sorry about that. Is that better? Can you hear us? No?
Get in there.
Louder, louder? Oh, okay. It's night, so, okay, got it. Better? Okay. Get up close to your, okay.
Yes.
All right, we will move on to the approval of board minutes.
Madam President, I move to the minutes of the August 15, 2017, and August 28, 2017 meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Okay, we'll move now to the treasurer's report. Mr. Mustine, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mrs. Cooley. We have the reports, you have those in advance, so we've had a chance to review those. The only thing I'd like to point out is that this is the last meeting that will be on our draft spending plan until we do our five-year forecast for October. At that time, the column in black there will be updated with our new five-year forecast, our October forecast. The one you see there is our May of 2017 forecast. At that time, the budget column here, FY18 budget, and the FY-to-date actual plus projected and the forecast should all agree to each other in October. Right now, the only thing I have changed in the budget on the spending plan initially was we knew that the state foundation funding was coming in flat, so I went ahead and changed that just for this draft spending plan. But if we come down to the bottom, we're $388,000 better than the May forecast. That'll change because you can see we're a lot closer to our spending plan amount, our budget, and the actual plus projected in the budget. So we're not as far ahead as what that makes it seem. We're really, you know, within under $100,000, so a lot closer. But these are the three numbers that should all agree right here across the bottom. They'll probably be closer to that $2,464,000, right around there, is where we should be. That's all I have with the financial reports. I do have a couple other items under my area. I have a fund-to-fund transfer that we'll be looking at. That was the scoreboard. The Pepsi donation that we received. We received that back in 2014, and it was placed in the permanent improvement fund. It should have been placed in the athletic fund. So we're making that adjustment. That money never went anywhere. It was there. So now we're just making sure it's where it needs to be so that it can be spent by the athletic department, but it should be. Also, what I have is a revision that you'll be seeing to the ROASBO 457 plan. The 457 plan is a similar financial tool to a 403B. You're familiar with that. It's a supplemental retirement amount. We have the OASBO 457 plan, which currently only accommodates Voya Financial as the company to provide that 457. OASBO allowed AXA Equitable into that program. And so in order for us to offer AXA Equitable through the OASBO 457 plan, we have to revise our plan to show AXA. So,
no additional money to the school, just additional options?
Correct, additional options. And AXA Equitable had to come in at the same fees or less as Voya in order to be a part of that plan. So it's no additional cost to the employee either if they chose to go that route. With that concludes my report, unless anybody has any questions.
Any questions? Okay, we will move on to the, thank you very much. We will move on to the financial action items.
Well, Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the July 2017 financial statements be accepted as presented. July 2017, correct?
No, that should be August 2017.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yeah.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, CFO, the Board approve the transfer of $6,000 Pepsi Cola contract from the Permanent Improvement Fund to the Athletic Department Fund.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer or CFO, the Board approve the revision of the OASBO Section 457 plan as stated below.
Oh, you have to read all that.
Loudly.
Second.
Discussion. Thank you for that clarification. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you. We will move to the superintendent's report. Mr.
Detweiler,
it's all yours.
Thank you. If I could have Mr. Mustine open up the fleet information in the note. Let's go up to the superintendent's report. There you go. Yeah, just going to open that up. The last meeting we talked a little bit about the PI plan. We talked about an impact about the PI plan, and we were talking about the need for 2 buses a year. The timing, we certainly can debate, but the document I wanted to provide to you shows that if we don't do something to maintain so many buses being purchased each year, we'll get behind and that lag will stockpile. And then we'll end up with a point in time when we have to replace 4, 5, 6 buses. At $100,000 a pop, that would be quite a chunk. What I tried to provide to you here with the help of Mr. Penny, he and Phil, our mechanic, they put together this list. I extrapolated out the mileage based on the average for that bus in the previous years. So you can see out in 2021 what their mileage count will be. And so if you scroll on down, Todd, in the orange you see the buses that are planned to be replaced first. So for example, bus 22 and bus 23. And that's per recommendation from our mechanic. And it fits into our cycle that we've been trying to maintain, which is 2 buses per year. So that it just was more information than probably what you wanted. I wanted to make sure you knew why we had come up with 2 a year. If we go to just 1 a year, you're going to get to the point where you're going to have to get 3 or 4 in any given year, and that's too expensive for our PI fund. So doesn't mean that this year we're getting 2 buses. It just simply means that's our cycle, and that's the logic behind it. Make sure the board understood that.
Is there an amount of miles that you're looking at when you get to replace, or just like based on that actual bus and what condition? conditions in?
Well, like, you know, Phil did, he provided his actual narrative behind each one of those that he wants to get replaced. Some of them, if you look at just simply 22 is below average and 23 is poor. Well, he knows what the maintenance record has been on that bus, and he feels that if we don't get that replaced, it's going to break down and we're going to have major repairs done it. As you read through his comments, you know, when we say that we have welded several places and patched, and you know, when you're talking about the fabric of the bus itself, we get a little nervous about that.
So. Is the 2009, like when you say have to get a bunch of buses, it looks like they bought a whole bunch that year. Is that just because they took some years off in 2002?
I don't think there wasn't a regular schedule when we got on board, was there? Right. So you put that in place, regular schedule?
We did. 2009 was the year before I came, so I'm not sure what the purchase was at that point. It looks to me like, honestly, when you buy that many, then you issued a note to buy a bundle of buses. Tax
is that what that year represents, the year that we bought it?
That is the year that, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe they were financed, maybe?
Yeah.
We buy them all new.
That would be my guess.
Buses,
right? Yeah.
And all of these vehicles, buses, are utilized on a daily basis?
No. No. A lot of the older buses are either parts buses or they are being used. It's a matter of preference based on a mechanic, making sure that he feels, okay, this bus has a lot of issues. I've got 22 buses that can go out today. Those are the ones I want on the road. This one I don't want on the road. Some of these, like I said, are parts buses. The really, really old ones are parts buses. You can't get anything on trade-in for a bus. You'd think you would for $100,000, but if you get, you know, $7,500, you're doing really good. So it's better to keep them here for parts, but once they've been completely scrapped out, we got to get rid of them.
We have inspections to pass every year on buses anyways, right?
We certainly
there's other things that go into that, right?
So. State Highway Patrol does random checks now.
Right, right.
Used to be, oh, summertime, here they come. Well, no, it's whenever they want to come now. So, and some schools got caught up in that this past year and got in trouble for it, where we actually had a very good inspection this year, so very pleased with the mechanics and the work they do. So
good.
It gives a lot of trust to us, and when they say this bus has met its useful life, we can feel pretty confident in that.
And I was going to ask, are the vans included? And then I look up there and I see vans, so okay. Now I got my answer.
So again, this is not saying, hey, we have to get two buses. It's just saying, here's the logic behind why we requested to get out for two buses. Okay, the next item, the budget balancing plan. At our last meeting, the direction I received was to work with Todd, looking at our finances and coming up with a proposal for a budget balancing plan. When it says proposal, that doesn't mean tonight, if you guys all like it, that's what we're doing. By no stretch of imagination are we ready to do that. We have a lot more work to do before we get to the point where we actually finalize. We also have to have a discussion as to when we would finalize that budget balancing plan. We have a lot of things happening. November, we have an election. We'll have at least one new board member. We could have more than that. So the question is, do we wait until after that election to finalize that? I was talking with Jessica today, our district attorney. She advised, why don't you just wait until you finalize this until after that person is at least elected, and then you can start inviting them to the November board meeting and the December board meeting. They can sit with us in executive session to have the conversation. So you're not having conversation now and then after that person gets on board. So we can talk more about that, but that was her advice, at least on that piece of it. So. The budget balancing plan proposal for 18-19. There's a reason why this is a summary version. The detailed version, that is for the board to have conversation about in regards to personnel. And again, in talking with Jessica, the second you start to talk about personnel and this position, it doesn't have to be a name, it can be by position, then that has to be an executive session. Now, once we come up with our plan, that has to be broadcast out publicly, but those conversations are protected by executive session and should be held there. Because again, there's no reason to get people excited about potentially losing their job if that's not going to be the case. So She highly, highly recommends that that detailed conversation is an executive session. I've also asked Jessica to be here at our November meeting. So she'll be here to kind of explain, this is why you should have these conversations in the executive session, and then have more conversation in public.
So that's why you sent that email to the staff. And what's an appropriate level of engagement with them as far as their feedback, which I want to see, but I don't know, I've kind of dealt with this before. You know,
right.
What's the appropriate level of interaction and more communication to have with them?
The challenge you run into, the administration is charged with responsibility for analyzing the operations of the district and giving recommendations to the board. Certainly getting input from the staff is important. But in this regard, and this goes back to my history being a CFO in another district where we had massive cuts, I call it the hunker down mode. Everybody's going to hunker down in their sandbox and try to, okay, this is, I'm really important, I've got to keep this. And that's the difference, to be honest, between the administration. We have to look at the entire district and make recommendations. So my solicitation for a lot of feedback will be from my administration. What can we, how can we operate without this position? What is your plan if this position goes away? The staff ultimately, their responsibility is to fulfill the duties of the job they're assigned. We will take any feedback. That's why I sent it out to them. I sent a notice to them making sure they knew about this was going to be on. I didn't want them to get blindsided. But again, for me to have a roundtable discussion, they may have some great ideas. I'm not selling them short. But I have to start with my administration. And hopefully, through their meetings and their conversations, they'll be talking to staff about, well, you know, if this position goes or that position goes, how will we operate? They have to do pre-planning for a lot of these scenarios. And again, another reason why this is a proposal, and I don't want people to get too excited at this point, we know this is going to change. So I don't want my administration spending all their time figuring out, okay, how do I adapt to this when it could change? So, but we certainly, you know, impact tomorrow night, that's, we're going to talk about how we're going to balance our budget. So that's community, staff, anybody that wants to be there. I've already had some staff members saying they're going to be there. One said they couldn't be there, but they're going to watch it on Facebook and send in questions. So trying to open it up as much as we can, but at the end of the day, I have to make a recommendation based off of how my administration feels they can manage the operations. So let's walk through it here. Again, the goal was to propose a plan to balance the general fund. Hold on, Ty. I'm at the top. There you go. To propose a plan to balance the general fund budget by reducing planned expenditures. Again, the other option we have, we already talked about, is raising more revenues. We still have to decide at some point, are we going to put a levy on in May? This is by cutting expenditures that we would balance the books. The forecast that Todd has presented shows general fund balance of June of 19 at $16,000. There's a general fund budget reserve of $540,000 that we've had in there for at least 8 years. So general fund at June of 19 would have $556,000. My direction received from you was to provide a proposal to balance the 18-19 general fund budget by reducing planned expenditures. And what I've done is we talked about, okay, is it $2 million that we need to plan for, what we were asking for in revenue? If you keep in mind, the $2 million is going to fund the district for 5 years. If I were to make $2,050,000 worth of cuts, that would fund us for 5 years. But that's also saying that we're never going to try to get additional revenues. So I cut that down to $1.5 million, which would fund us for 3 years. Okay? And we can, again, that's why I say this can change. You may say we'll just reduce $1 million and get us by 1 year, 1.5 years, whatever it is. So that's more conversation we have to have. The proposed reductions, and again, this is a proposal, not my recommendation. If you scroll down a little bit there, thank you. To eliminate planned step increases. As you know, all of our employees, except for the administration now, have planned step increases. What is represented there is the dollar amount for the 18-19 school year for each of those classifications. So your certified staff, classified, exempt employees, your supplementals, and then the administration, which is zero because there are no steps any longer. So it's about $140,000 worth of expenditures that are sitting out there. Base increases, same thing. You walk down through there, certified staff. Makes sense that if everybody's getting a 1%, your certified staff are paid more than most of the other staff, so their pot is larger. And you go right on down through there. Administration, $9,700, because I believe Todd's put a placeholder of 1% in there.
Across the board.
Right, for everybody. So okay. 1% on administration is $9,700. And again, you have complete control over that number. Those two, the step increases, base increases, there's two ways that this can be done. You can do basically independently do an across-the-board cut of all of it, and that does not take any approvals. Okay, does not have to be bargained. I don't recommend that at all. And I talked with Jessica at length about that today. What we'd rather see is that we sit down early spring with our bargaining units, they know what's going on, and have a conversation. And hopefully we can work together on coming to something, some kind of agreement here. Okay, so you can bargain it, or you can independently just say it's across the board to everybody. So as she said, that's a very heavy-handed way of doing that, and you'd rather sit down and bargain over that. So pay to participate, a 100% fee for all of our athletics, all of our supplementals for band and so on. This would be if all of our participants paid 100% of the cost, which would also for athletics would include the trainer's costs. This does not include the AD's costs, correct? Right now, I don't think we put that in.
No, it doesn't.
No. Now, our expenses for those supplementals is much as double those numbers you see there to the right. And the reason being is 50%, actually 51% of our students are on free and reduced meals. So if they're on free and reduced, they're not paying those fees. They don't have to pay it. So for us to be conservative about our estimates, that represents half of our cost. Okay. So if you do a pay to participate 100% of the fee, we'll get roughly half of that. So you'll still be footing the cost for half.
Is the free and reduced basically not making them pay to play? Is that a state requirement, or is that just typically how schools implement that?
No, it is. It's a requirement or not.
It's the same thing for our school fees. We would charge academically our classroom fees. They don't have to pay those either.
Yeah. It's legislated. It's not up to us. So, that's all right. Yeah. So you can see that's $152,000 though. That if you collect 100% of it, of the half that we would be eligible to receive, would be $150,000. Student activity fees, roughly it's $45 this end of campus, $70 at the 7-12 end of campus. If we basically doubled those fees, we'd get an additional $40,000. We get roughly $40,000 for the half of that now. So that's also discounting for the free and reduced, because that's based on what we actually collect right now. Tuition reimbursement fund. And again, the certified, that's in the teacher's contract. It's $50,000. It is utilized. Our staff has utilized it over the years to get their master's and continuing education, things like that. And we've never fought with them over that in negotiations because we felt it was worthwhile. But again, it's $50,000 at a time when we are running out of money. Administration, we just last year put in a $9,000 amount for the administration. We did not use all that last year, and I don't anticipate we'll use much of it this year, but it's still sitting there as a placeholder in our budget. So that's, again, something you control completely. So that could easily be taken away. The teacher resource allocation, $250 a year each teacher gets to buy supplies for their classroom. You could eliminate that. That would be $25,000. Again, that would be something that we'd sit down with them and negotiate over. Capital outlay, we have roughly over the next 3 to 5 years, $130,000 to $135,000 a year budgeted that we buy fixed assets out of the general fund. We would basically wipe that out and say it's zero, and PI would pay for everything that is a fixed asset. So computer supplies, whatever we have to get that's a fixed asset, we would get from there. Professional services. Professional services are everything from Michelle Broom. She's considered a professional service. Printing services, all those different types of services, roughly cutting out about $85,000 worth of that. And we can talk later about that. Curriculum resources, Our curriculum resources, we have proudly increased the budget for our curriculum over the last 5 years. That started with Mr. Hall moving forward. And I say proudly because at one time we did not invest in our curriculum resources. So if you weren't here at that time, it was not a happy time here. I remember when I first came, there was very little money flowing into resources, and I know Karen would support that. So that's a pain point for all of us, because you're taking resources straight out of the classroom. So that hurts. Staff reductions, speaking of hurts, our most valuable asset is our staff. So when you get down to staff reductions, this is and I don't say that by classification. Anybody that works here is valuable. They bring value to the table, and it pains me to have this list. Classified positions, again, classified positions, if you're not familiar with those, that's bus drivers, custodians, secretaries, aides, cooks, right on down the line. But your cooks are not in this mix, by the way. I want to point that out. Cooks are paid for out of our cafeteria, which is an independent fund from general fund. So to be honest, to make any cuts in the cafeteria, really you're just doing it to balance things out with the other employees. It's not going to save general fund any dollars.
Right, that fund is made, receives revenue from school lunch sales and then from the federal reimbursement for lunch and breakfast. So it's not a general fund amount.
So if you don't see us listing cooks and cook helpers, that's why. But that's 8 positions. Exempt positions, that's your central office staff, secretaries, accounts payable, all those folks in the central office. Certified positions, these are teachers, counselors, anybody that holds a certified license. We have 7 of those listed. An elimination of 1 administrator, that's 10% of the administrative staff, which is down to 10, which it was at 14. We're down to 10 based on the cuts we've made now. That would take us down to 9. So that's $741,000 in just staff reductions, which brings you to your $1.5 million. Now, you can see why this is going to take a lot of conversation, because each one of you is going to have those things that you'd like or don't like about this or you think should be on this list, and I'm open to listen to that. I will put out this advice tonight. Jessica said that in our public conversation early on especially, don't marry yourself to anything at this point. And the reason being, she said, as you go down through this process, you're all going to think about it, including myself, and change your position on certain things. And she said that's exactly why the law allows for those conversations to be in executive session. You don't want to get pinned down on something and a month later you're changing your opinion. She said it's not a good way to manage this process. So, but that's just one proposal. And again, I caution anybody in the room from thinking, oh great, they're going to cut 8 classified positions. That's not where we're at. I want to be clear about that. That is not where we're at as of today. We will have more conversation, I'll just be very candid, when we go into executive session about those positions. So you will have a better idea of what I'm talking about there. And we'll move on from there. Any questions about that proposal? The main reason I give that tonight, I wanted to give you guys a sense of what it really looks like to put together a reduction list.
So it helps me, right? Because I would have no idea. If someone said, what do you do? I have no idea. So it helps me kind of understand the methodology,
right?
And what we have to look at and decisions that we don't want to have to make. So it gives us a lot to think about, I think, from my perspective, certainly.
Now, one thing that's not on there, and there's several things that can be put on this list, and we'll talk about this. One thing that's not is busing at the high school. It's not on this list at all. And Tula Ute said at the last meeting, rightfully so, that you know that starts like this beginning of a death spiral. And when your district is 270 square miles and you eliminate busing for 4 grades, those kids are going to make choices about if they want to stay in our school. And so, you know, programs being cut, staff being cut, those will affect people making choices about coming here as well. But when you say we don't offer high school busing, you're taking out a big chunk there. So I'm not saying I'm against putting it on there. I'm just saying that's why it's not on there tonight.
No, I just wanted to make one clarification there too. This plan or any other that we discuss won't be part of the October forecast. The forecast can only be based on things that we know. So there's not going to be any board action on any of these items, I would assume, until after the forecast is filed. So that won't be part of that. So I don't, what Mr. Detweiler said with this plan or this $1.5 million would get us through 3 years in the forecast. I've ran those numbers, and I believe that he's correct. But that won't be reflected on this October forecast. It can't be. So I just wanted to, I didn't want anybody expecting a certain number of years in that forecast at our next meeting and then be disappointed. So.
Any questions on that?
I think I understand the concept of talking broadly before we go into executive session and talk about specifics. But if we have other like broad positions or things we want added to that, when will that public conversation happen versus being an executive session?
If you're talking about specific positions, that's executive session. Right. Then once we get to the point where we've, I've come to where I feel I have a recommendation I can make to the board, then that will come out publicly, okay? Until I make a recommendation to you, position cuts are executive session. Then I make a recommendation, and that's where if my recommendation doesn't fall in line with the way you're thinking or Tula's thinking or Kelly, you would say to me then at that point, I can't support this because we're not talking about this position.
Sure. So, for example, if we wanted to talk more about busing, I'm not saying we do, but if that was an example, when would be the appropriate time to have that conversation?
Right. I mean, talking about busing in general, just like I did tonight, we can certainly talk about that if we think that it needs to be on there. Anything else you think that you'd like to see rolled into this to be considered, that can be talked about publicly as well. It's just those positions that we can't really talk about. Busing is a program as a whole. We can talk, yes, I think the busing should be on here. I'd like for you to cost that out to see what it would look like, how much we would actually save by moving away from not having high school busing. We can certainly do that, price it out, include it on the list next time so we can kind of have a smorgasbord, for lack of a better term, of what these things look like as far as the savings to the district. That's why I say we've got this meeting, yeah. October meeting, and then November truly is, I think, where we're going to have a very solid conversation, because at that point we'll have the five decision makers in the room. And I'm going to go right into my next topic because it stays with this, so just leave this up if you would, Todd. About a year ago, we were approached by the state auditor's office asking us, or basically saying, look, we've looked at your forecast. We think you're close enough now to that fiscal cliff that we've been talking about since 2012. They've watched us through our forecasts. Last year they said, we think you're close enough that we want to come in and start looking at your operations. Todd and I met with them then, talked to Scott Anderson, who's the lead in the Performance Audit Division, State Auditor's Office. And at that point, we had convinced him to hold off on this because we've got two-tier busing and we've got an operating levy that's going to be on. Let's just see how that plays out. Well, they did, and they called us back and said those didn't play out the way you would hope they'd play out. So they want to come in, and to be quite honest, Todd and I, we welcome them to come in. When they do a performance audit, they're looking at a couple different things. They're looking at your finances, obviously. How much are you spending on X, Y, and Z compared to other folks? And what your finances and your operations that drive that. So they'll look at our busing program. They will look at the things I have listed on here, for example, the staff reductions. They may have a whole different set of ideas than I have, or they may affirm my ideas, or my ideas might be just a part of what they say we should do. So when they do a performance consultant, as they put it, they will provide us with a report at the end of the day that basically says, here's what we think you should do. Now, the catch is, that's not going to be available to us until February 1st, at the earliest?
Yeah, February, March.
Yeah, February 1st. So As we told them, we will most likely have our own budget balancing plan in place. And I can tell you the things we have listed here, I'm very confident that they will say, yes, that needs to be a part of it. But generally, they go a little bit beyond that. They'll probably be looking at, how do we get your five-year forecast in line, looking more for that $2 million. So theirs will be a little more meatier than what I have listed here, because they're thinking, we have to balance your books for 5 years without additional revenue. Okay, because they will not give a recommendation that you put a levy on. They just won't do that. And I understand why. That's not good politics for the state auditor to say that.
But they can make a statement as to our revenue position compared to surrounding districts and peers. So when we sat down with them, that was one of the things they said, well, we do a peer analysis, and they have a list of peers that they would be looking at, and we kind of told them, well, we do that ourselves. We have a software that allows us to do that. So they were kind of impressed by some of the things that we were doing as far as the peer analysis, the 10-year forecast as opposed to a 5-year forecast, and then having this budget balancing plan established already moving forward and starting to examine that. So it was a really good first meeting, but they're going to be with us for a while. And it's Tim said, a meatier examination. They're going to be looking at things like square footage, when you're talking about custodial coverage, or route efficiencies when you're talking about transportation. It's not a superficial, gloss over audit. They don't like to call it an audit, but it's for a performance audit of your operations. So it is separate from our financial audit, so we will still have our financial audit this year. They will be in around the end of November. So we'll have our financial audit and the performance auditors here around the same time.
And it's free.
Right, it's no cost.
The state pays for it.
How long will they be here?
Through February.
They're here the whole time.
They're coming tomorrow at 9 in the morning to start meeting and interviewing with different staff. So.
It does, we've been talking about this since 2012, that there's a fiscal cliff coming, and it is coming. And it's not that it gives credibility to the fact of what we've been saying, but it does. They've been watching. They knew where we were at. They saw what we were doing. They're very interested in what we've done to this point. We'll spell all that out as far as pushing out that deficit. But I look at it as a large part of this is going to be affirmation and credibility building, because as they come out with their report, they will note, the school district has done this, 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 and this to avoid this deficit. So that's a good thing. They'll point out things that we didn't think of that we can consider, which is a good thing. So it's a very big positive. Like I said, it's like a free service to come in and help you get your books balanced.
And they're all recommendations. None of them are enforceable by the state. They're all recommendations available to be enacted by the district if they so choose. So they'll make those recommendations at the end of the audit. I think another thing that's important to point out is they're not easily put off. So last year when they wanted to come into the district, the only reason they did it is because they agreed we had a viable plan in place for additional revenue through the two-tier plan. And we vetted that with people they highly respect. And once we did that, they absolutely agreed. If this goes through the way that we think that it will at this time, there will be no need for us to show up. And that was the case last year. But like Tim said, we were still on their radar. They were waiting to see, just like we were, what the state budget did. So when that didn't go through and then they saw the failure of the levy, those were two big things that prompted them to send us another letter and contact us.
So again, another reason why I advocate that we continue having discussions, things that we would like to see priced out as far as if this was on the list, what would it look like? But I believe that November meeting is going to be a critical meeting, and that's why I've tried to shape it where Jessica can be here, our new board members are here, and they can hear all this firsthand, and they can see that they can hear the update about the performance audit, see where we're at, and then make a decision as far as do we come up with our plan, which I advocate, at a version somewhere similar to this. And then when they come out in February with additional suggestions, we consider those at that point in time. Nothing says you can't add to it or modify it. So.
But They'll give you like checks along the way, like information. They'll feed you information as they're doing it or not.
They'll be collecting information mostly along the way.
Two updates.
Yeah, we'll have updates, but we're their only project too in this amount of time. So we'll get a lot of attention. It's not an untrue statement. Tim and I mean, really are kind of excited to have them come through, but rarely do you get that kind of opportunity for an outside person looking in to take that kind of examination with the knowledge they have and say, are you doing a good job or not? Or are you doing things the way we would propose you do them? Or, you know, so I'm hoping they see that we are doing a pretty good job here. So it'll be a chance for some validation. It'll be a chance to maybe learn some new things and different ways to look at something. So I think it'd be great. Kind of excited about it. Doesn't take much to get a numbers guy excited.
That's the geeky out of
it. That does not.
Really. Any questions about the proposal, the partnership with the state on this performance audit? We've got a lot going on, and we'll keep you definitely informed at each meeting and in between.
I have a question on the auditors. What is their background? So these auditors that come in, are they finance background, an education background? What is it? Do you know that?
We don't know about, well, we do know.
They have a team of three main people. One person is the lead, and then two assistants that they work with, and then the overall project manager. So four people are involved. The two people that are the assistants, one of them specializes in HR, and the other one specializes in other operations. So food service, transportation, custodial maintenance, those kind of things. And the lead of the project, I believe, will be focusing mainly on the financial, on the budget, and how we establish the budget, and things like that. So.
And they'll provide us with their credentials, too.
Right.
We get a letter that says, here's who's working on your audit. We can share that.
A big part of their analysis, I think, is going to be peer-based, looking at the surrounding districts, people they've been involved with in the past, and seeing how our operations compare.
Thanks.
Anything else on that?
Okay.
Thank you. Sure. The state report card, if we can jump over there. Let's go ahead and open that. And I know this is very small print. Please feel free to go in and print this out. I asked Mrs. Grigsby to put together a comparative report for us, and she did. You have in front of you this booklet that speaks to the six components on the report card. It gives some easy definitions. So as you're walking through our report card and you see progress, what the heck is progress? There's several different definitions in here, so you can kind of get self-educated. I'm not going to try to do that for you tonight. I'm not going to ask Karen to do that either. But this is just an easy snapshot for the different areas in the report card. In green is where we improved over last year. Red is where we went down slightly, in most cases. And yellow is where we stayed the same. I can tell you this much, most school districts didn't have this much green. We improved dramatically. That is kudos to our staff who have adopted everything from OIP to Mastery Connect. And we have asked them to take big bites in a lot of areas to improve, and they're doing it. And I've said last year that when everybody's report card went down, that we were positioned to improve much more quickly than other schools, and it played out. I'm not going to go through each one of these, but Todd, if you can go to the other one, it's an easier one to take a look at. You've seen this one before. Go down just a little bit. There you go. In yellow is the current year grades, actually last year's, but they're ones we have for this year. And you walk down through ours, and this was reported in the newspaper, but no offense to anybody in the room that's a newspaper writer, but it was hard to read because they did it in narrative form. And I couldn't read it, but I can read this, and basically follow along since 13-14 where each school district in the county, as well as Westfall and Miami Trace, because those are the comparables that we looked at in the past, to see where you fall. Now, the district overall grade at the bottom, it's basically a GPA grade based on a 4-point scale. The challenge with that is when they come out with the overall composite score next year, I don't believe it's going to match up with that because each one of these is weighted. So for example, performance index and indicators met is 75-25%. So they're weighted grades, and I don't have that weighted at the bottom. So if you take weighting off and they're all worth, you know, 1 to 4 on a 4-point scale, the grade that I have at the bottom is absolutely correct. But it'll be a little bit different next year. So because they'll take weighting into consideration, I'm sure, when they put the composite score together.
Were you not able to weight it? Why don't you?
Right. When I put this together, I did not. And part of that is because they have a tendency to change those weights, and it makes me nervous to do that. That's why I just want to do a flat 4-point. I think we'd still end up about the same because of the weighting. Like I said, the 75-25, for example, performance index, we've got a C, that's 75%, and indicators met was 25%. So we'd be better off in that scenario because the weight is on the one that we did better in. But as that fluctuates, it could affect it.
Well, I say that because I think this is a key piece of information for our voters to show them what we're doing, to try to build credibility in what we're doing.
Right.
I want it to be obviously fair, you know,
right,
in apples to apples comparison. Right. But, you know, I think, you know, our teachers are paid less. We obviously have our tax base is lower, and we're performing, you know, while C doesn't look good, and that's kind of hard to sell, comparatively, we're doing
right,
pretty good. So, you know, I think if we can present this, you know, and it's accurate, comparable information, I think we need to get it out there and talk about that.
I think it's something that Todd and myself and Karen sitting down, we may be able to, based on the percentages now, do some weighting of it to see how it would vary. Because I don't disagree with you. That's why we put this together a few years ago. Because there needed to be an easy way just to flow through and see how you compare in different areas. So we certainly can do that so we can use it as more of a marketing piece. Because I agree with you. I think the most impressive thing for me is how much we improve from 1 year to the next. So no matter how you slice it, we fell off by 1.7 off the 14-15 year when they made the dramatic changes, they raised the bar. And we jumped up almost a full point. That's doing something. And nobody else, I mean, Jonathan Alder came close, but that was it. So I was very pleased with that. You can check out some of the things, K-3 literacy. I know we were all very happy about that, to go from an F to a B. That's impressive. And that's what you look for, is those things that, okay, did we consistently go up, and did we have some that really jumped off the page? Thing that's gifted from a C to a B, overall progress from an F to an A. I mean, that's just knocking it out of the park. So we're, as I said yesterday, we were positioned to improve faster than anybody else. I think we're still in that position. Now, the challenge is, we just went through a budget reduction plan. And part of that plan is pulling things out that put us in a position to continue to improve. But that's what happens in a budget reduction plan. You reduce services. So, again, I go back to the other option is to pass additional revenue so we keep those services in place. But I agree with you, Mark. I think we need to have something that shows the community that we are progressing faster than other school districts. We've got a lot of good things going. We don't want to lose that.
Well, there's that end of it, trying to get confidence to vote to pass the levy, but there's also the retention and recruiting end of it, that
absolutely,
we want parents and prospective students to say, hey, Madison Plains is ranked second in Madison County, or
right,
whatever.
Right.
That's the kind of information we need to get out there.
Yeah, I agree. We will work on seeing if we can do a weighting of this. Again, I can't say that's what this, even if it's based on the percentages, that's what the state will do next year, because you never know how that is not done, as it says on all the reports. But we can come as close as we possibly can. And this was just our first attempt a few years ago, and I just keep playing off of it. But you're right, we need to get those weights in there.
So am I reading that right? We did better than anybody in K-3 literacy in the county?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, those are the things we need to tell the parents and the voters, right?
Yeah. Progress. We're there with Jonathan Alder and Miami Trace.
Yeah.
Those were target districts a few years ago.
Right.
So we've got things to work on, and we know that.
Sure.
Prepare for success. We've got a lot of things that are happening in there, and that's a grade that's 2 years behind, not just 1 year behind. So it takes time to get that moved up. The gap closing, definitely. Our subgroups, we've got work to do there to get them to close the gap to their non-subgroup peers, because we're at an F still. So we know we need to do that. But again, we're not too far out of line with everybody else in most areas, and we're ahead of most in several areas. So I'm very happy with that. Again, that's kudos to the improvement plan, the staff's adoption of it. Our TBTs and BLTs are functioning now. And I say that, Tula knows, she's come to the meetings for several years. We couldn't always say that. But when you have teachers that are meeting, you know, once, twice a week, and they're talking about, okay, here's my group of kids and how they scored, and I did this, and this is why they scored that way, or I don't know why, can you help me figure this out? Those conversations are the critical conversations for us to improve. And if we start losing teachers or losing time for them to have those meetings, you lose that whole improvement process. So it's a critical time for us. We're poised to really take off academically. We really are. But if we start focusing on finances, and that's where we end up, we won't get any better than we are right now. And that's, I don't want that. I said that last year, and we just have to convince people of that moving ahead.
Great. So,
okay. You have both of those documents electronically. The one is a hard copy. We will work to get some weights on that so it gives us a truer picture that we can push out there, and I'll share that with you. And that's all I have. Sorry.
Good timing.
In conclusion.
Lost it.
That concludes my report.
Thank you. So we will move forward actually to unfinished business at this time. We will move on to new business.
Madam President, I move that upon the recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ Amy York as a bus driver, step 8, effective end of week 2, notice to her, after a 2-week notice to her current employer. Length of contracted days to be determined upon 2-week notice. Step pending verification of employment from current employer and employment pending background check.
Second.
Discussion.
Again, very excited. I think Joe would say it's manna from heaven to get a licensed driver that's working somewhere else, ready to roll. So Joe's been a very happy camper the last day or so when it comes to transportation,
yeah,
which is a good thing. So.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following corrections to the following personnel: Mary Sparrow, food service director; Patty Anthony as an aide; and Ashley Reeves as a cook helper. We're changing the steps and the days.
Second. Discussion.
Yeah, there was a question about Mary and Patty's steps, and we clarified that and changed those by 1 year each. And then we had 165 instead of 164, so we needed to correct that.
Okay. I make a recommendation upon
recommendation.
Oh,
we got a vote.
Oh, did I not do a call roll? I'm like, why isn't I talking? Sorry.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Bobby Jacobs, aide in the health clinic. Ms. Jacobs served Madison Plains District for 3 years.
Second.
Discussion.
Again, Bobby did a great job for us. I hate to lose her. She needed a full-time position, and we just did not have one available at this time.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon the recommendation of superintendent, the board terminate the two-year contract for Carol Huebman due to non-acceptance of contract.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, she was issued a contract and never signed it, never returned it, never returned a call, never showed up, so we have to terminate.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for 2017-2018 school year.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following supplemental contract to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2017-2018 school year.
Second.
Discussion?
This will be on a voluntary basis per the note there. I'll make sure you guys do that. As long as it's okay.
You know if it's background check.
We're still waiting.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Abstain.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2017-2018 school year for Joe Stewart, varsity boys basketball coach.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I just wanted to take the opportunity to kind of reiterate this Joe's position as boys basketball coach and his aide position. Those two will be coordinated. He will not get more than 40 hours in any given work week. So if we're in season and he's going to have 24 hours as a coach, his 37 and a half hours as an aide will be reduced by those number of hours. So he will not be allowed to get more than 40. He can't get overtime because that's our position with any employee. I will point out again, any employee that has both the flexibility in their regular job, in which they don't have to have all of their hours, and we have the flexibility in that we can flex their time, we welcome them to be a coach for us.
Sure.
We want coaches that are internal. So those are the two criteria that we have to have, flexibility on their part and our part.
I just want to say, I plan to vote against this, not because I don't have the utmost respect for Joe Stewart, which I do. I think he's a good mentor. He's a good X's and O's basketball coach. I'm just not comfortable with the position, kind of how it came about, but definitely appreciate Joe.
End of session. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
No.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries
4-1. Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board award the following supplemental contract to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2017-2018 school year. That's for Carrie Mason, eighth grade volleyball coach.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Abstain.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I'm sorry. I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the substitute aid list as presented.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the substitute cook list as presented.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the following donations as listed.
Second. Discussion?
It'll probably be on there next month, but I told one of my friends that works for SEEK and so on, they made a pretty sizable donation to the football program. I just want to publicly thank them.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Bucks?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I make a motion that we enter into executive session at 8:01 p.m. for the purpose of one or more of the following under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G. Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual. And Section 4, preparing for, conducting, or reviewing negotiations or bargaining session with public employees.
Any question on what those are?
Okay, we'll be taking note for the action. The next.
Second. Sorry.
Second.
No.
Oh, you did.
Sorry. I did that.
Got it. Second. Call roll.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Our next meeting date will be October 17th in this room, 7 p.m. And I move to, we will not be taking any further action. I never get that.
Is the impact meeting tomorrow, Mouse Room?
It is, 6 o'clock. It's right after the chamber meeting, I hope.